Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
25 minutes now after 7 p.m. and welcome to Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really, really appreciate it. As I mentioned, between today and tomorrow at around 7 p.m., we'll be having our panelists who will be joining us and letting us in a little bit on this transformative enterprise. And we'll be dissecting that a little bit more and just explaining. You can join us, +2773470 3520. That is +2773470 3520. That's the number that you can use if you do have questions. I've got my elders and my leaders here. We've got Elder Eugene Munsami, who is the Vice President and Chief of Programs here. I just wanted to greet him this evening. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How are you today?
Very well. And yourself, sir?
Ah, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate your time. And I've got my elder here, Matuzalem, right? I've pronounced that correctly.
You are close.
Ah, I'm close. Not too bad. Thank you so much, my elder, for joining us. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Of course, like we mentioned to my listeners, +2773470 3520 is the WhatsApp number that you can use if you do have any questions. It is a #BusinessSenseAWR across all social media platforms. We're talking today about transformative enterprise, and we're trying to dissect what does that exactly mean. We spoke to our leader, the SID president, who was helping us understand what it means. And I captured exactly what he said. He said it is life-changing work. That's what transformative enterprise actually means. So my guest this evening, of course, will be dissecting that for us a little bit more. So I just want to start with you introducing yourselves. And I know that's a pretty much weird question, but I do have listeners who might not necessarily know you. And I'm going to start with you, Elder Munsami.
My name's Eugene Munsami.
Yeah.
I serve currently as the Vice President of the SID.
Yeah.
Been involved with ASI since 2008.
Okay.
So have a kind of an idea of what the ASI is all about.
Yeah.
Quite excited to get involved with the topic that you want us to deliberate upon.
Fantastic. Since 2008, you say?
Correct.
And how has it been?
A wonderful journey.
Yeah.
ASI is about families, and I'm so excited that I have my wife.
Okay.
And my daughters, in fact.
Yeah.
Carefully, if you listen to, my eldest daughter will be presenting on development finance.
Yes,
tomorrow.
Yes. I was actually saying that's my interesting topic that I really want to delve into.
Wonderful.
But I really love that, yes.
And so ASI concentrates on families.
Okay.
And so I'm so happy my colleague here too is with his dear one.
Yeah.
And so we encourage that. So
yeah.
From an ASI perspective, we first live in the Adventists.
Mm.
And then as God blesses us in our businesses, we help the church fulfill its mission. That in a nutshell is what the ASI is all about.
It's all about, eh? Fantastic. My elder and yourself, introductions.
My name is Mathusalem Sukete.
Yeah.
I currently serve as Director for Logistics in the ASI SID.
Yeah.
It's been, like Elder Monsari mentioned, it's been a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
You cannot go wrong by joining this family.
Okay.
And I can only emphasize on the fact that for those who have not yet joined or become members of the ASI SID, please join.
Yes.
We have a mission to fulfill. We have a place for you.
Yeah.
And we wait for you.
Fantastic. Logistics. What do you deal with there?
You know, the world is big, right?
Yes.
But, you know, when you have people around you which give all the support and are passionate about it, it becomes simple.
Okay.
But basically, you know, a logistics director for ASI, SID, is responsible for mainly organizing and arranging the logistics around the convention like this event, you know. But again, like I said, it ends up being titles, but you know, you have a lot of help, you know, for this particular event. I live in Angola. Elder Munsami lives here. He was basically the programs director and the logistics director.
Okay.
You know, I was giving some kind of, you know, just
support.
Being the figure then.
Yes.
But yeah, the logistics director basically is responsible for making sure that all the logistics of the convention is put in place.
Ah, fantastic. So you're already planning for next year?
We are planning for next year already, and it's going to start very soon.
Yeah.
As soon as we close this one, we hit the road and we start looking towards Elder Musamu, can we already
give them one? You can divulge it.
It's Lilongwe.
Lilongwe, yes.
Lilongwe in Malawi is where we're heading to.
Ah, fantastic. I was asking the president as well to say, do you sleep? I mean, if you're already starting to plan for next year now, do you ever get time to rest?
It's a pleasure doing this.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you enjoy something, you think less about sleep. Right?
Yeah, you think less about sleeping. Ah, okay, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Transformative enterprises. What does this mean? Let's start with you, Mayelda.
I can give you an illustration.
Yeah.
If I had a rubber band in my hand right now,
okay,
and I kept the left hand with the one part of the rubber band, on the other I pulled it up, I stretched it.
Okay.
I create some tension.
Yes.
So just keep that picture in your mind.
Okay.
That's what transformative enterprises is all about. Let me unpack that very quickly.
Yeah.
For years, for example, since 2008 in South Africa, we've had ASI conventions with wonderful topics, wonderful themes, and the people are hyped. Mm. There's a tremendous buzz about it.
Mm.
And like Eno's, the minute the convention is over for a week, the effervescence dies and it fizzles out.
Yeah.
And transformative enterprise is saying, let's transform the way we move year after.
Okay.
And so with that rubber band experience again, we know we're going to have tension, but we want to sustain that momentum. And that is what this particular theme is about this year. We want to have, it must not just be another convention, business as usual.
Yes, yes.
We had a topic years ago, business unusual, and that's what it should be.
Yeah.
But we should sustain this momentum long after the convention is gone. That we cannot look forward to the next one.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, yes, it's looking at things differently, coming to a convention, learning some new skills, tapping off the skills of others, but maintaining that in the long run.
Now, as someone who's obviously been involved in this particular space for some time, since 2008, and I think I like the background with the different topics that, you know, have been explored over the last few years in the conventions, you're mentioning something that's really important, which is sustaining, you know, that effervescent, that tension and all that. In your experience, what causes the effervescent to taper out after the conventions or after conferences? Is it that we don't implement what we learned during conventions?
Coupled, that good feature, is a reason. But coupled with that, I think, you know, the togetherness.
Yeah.
When you find brothers and sisters from all over the world on the same wavelength.
Mm.
And then you go back to your hometown. You go back to your home church where it's the same old, same old, same old, you know.
Mm.
And we are saying at ASI, let's make church different.
Yeah.
Take that momentum from your business. Take it to God's church. We're actually one entity.
Yeah.
We're one entity, and people like to divorce the church from the ASI.
Yeah.
We are First Seven Adventists.
Yes.
And then as God blesses us in our business, as I said, we help the church fulfill its mission. So the reasons are varied, but the most important one is that we go back to our corners and we start working in our silos again.
Yes, yes. Which silos are not helping us.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Mayelda, what's your understanding? How do you look at this transformative enterprise from your end?
You know, Elder Munsam is mentioned well, you know, but I come from the business background,
yes,
so I start by talking from the business perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
From the business perspective, transformative enterprise refers to going beyond the concept of profitability.
Okay.
It includes running your business, taking into consideration the societal or social elements as well as environmental.
Yeah.
Okay, so more like a triple bottom line concept in terms of business.
Yeah.
But when you bring this to the ASI concept, you start understanding that, you know, life is not just about the traditional way of thinking. And I love the way Paul puts it in Romans 12, verse 2. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
So ASI is about transforming.
Yeah.
It's about thinking beyond the usual.
Yeah.
You know, and for this, as business people, as lay people, you look into transformative enterprise on our perspective, engaging what is our fundamental in ASI text, which is what Sister White had mentioned, you know, many years ago, that the work of God on earth will never finish until the men and women which comprise the membership of the church rally to the work and join their efforts to those of the pastors and the ministers. So transformative enterprise for us is number one, understanding that we have a mission beyond our daily living. We have a mission beyond our normal routine. We need to transform the way the world is viewed. Both in business, even in evangelism. How can we innovate? How can we do beyond what is usual? So that is about transformative enterprise on my perspective.
I really love it. I think you brought into what we call in the business world ESG in there.
Precisely.
You know, kind of because I think it's a concept that's far becoming very important in boardrooms and in business as well, right? And I love how you brought it as well to just the concept of ASI as well. But it's something that we can't pretend like it's not happening. Now I just want to get into then the S bit of it, which is the social bit of it. Where do you see ASI, especially playing a transformative role from that end? Where does it fit in on that aspect?
You know, on that aspect, I would like to start by using an example of our convention of last year. Last year, we visited Livingstone in Zambia, and we left a big landmark there. You know, there was a group of women which were into a business of selling themselves to make a living. And ASI got there, decided to, you know, bring changes to the lives of those ladies by, you know, bringing a business initiative, taking them out of the habitual way, incorrect way of making a living. But that's the only way they had. So how can we impact society? Not only bringing them the word and say, you know, God loves you and go. And then they go home, they're hungry, like Elder Eugene. There's need to be some transformation. So beyond looking into, you know, this is not the recommendable way of living. I understand you're hungry. So I want to bring you the word of the Lord. Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. But beyond that, I also want to bring you some resources so that you transform yourself from this life. You have a way of living, you know, into your new being. So these are practical example, ASI, when we come together, when we bring together our efforts, our passion on this, and the love of God, this is what brings to society.
Thank you so much, my elder. I want to come back to that a little bit, but I want to bring in Elder Munsami here. Now, my elder, there's this notion that we have about people who are quote-unquote wealthy, rich. You know, there's always that thing that the way they make their money, riches, is not sometimes ethically correct, right? And how does ASI then, I suppose, as it brings business people who are professionals, also, I know there's a topic around ethics that's also going to be explored in the next coming few days and hours and all that, but how do we incorporate the ethics bit?
You know, firstly, it's a big perception. Honestly speaking, a recent research at Harvard, I don't know the exact date, states that almost 75% of business guys are honest guys.
Sure. 75?
Can you believe it? As high as that?
Sure.
And still, it's further divided that the few, probably 5 or 10% of the real rotten ones kind of saturate the whole industry and has a stigma on business people.
Yeah.
Sister Ellen G. White refers to the rich in the church as the neglected rich.
Sure, sure.
They say the church always calls on the wealthy people when they need donations.
Yes, yes.
And so we are saying as ASI, let us change that mindset. And, you know, Methusalem gave a beautiful example of how we impact society. ASI has its work cut out in South Africa, in the South African Indian Ocean Division. We need to change the mindset of our churches. We need to get our churches thinking professionally, like businesses. So at 9:15 when it's song service, you are there at 9:15. You don't stroll in at 5:20 to 10. That's unprofessional. That's unethical. We use the word ethics only when it has to do with money. But how we hurt God's word with our ethical behavior every day. So punctuality is one big one. Secondly, we talk about each other. You don't hear big business. Have you ever heard Richard Branson giving Warren Buffett a go? They don't. No. They respect each other. They respect each other's space. And so we are saying the business principles can make a difference in God's house, in the church. we're depending on ASI members, members to join on board. Come on board, take it back. Our church boards don't have to be a boxing ring. It doesn't have to be a free-for-all. I'll give you a perfect example. This afternoon, we had a board from all over the SID. And I'll just give you a very simple example. A vendor wanted a 60,000 rand for a service. So we put it to everybody. They spoke about it. And they said, guys, give us 5 minutes over lunch. Over lunch, that's what business guys do over a business lunch. We ended up taking a service provider for 10,000 rand. Done, dusted, paid. No several church boards having the permission of the local pastor, getting the conference. And we are not saying we're wonderful, but it's the same Seventh-day Adventist people that go into a board. And then they are stuck. They are hamstrung. So exactly what we're doing outside in our communities, and that's a wonderful project that we took on in Zambia. This is what my vision is for transformative enterprises. So they have to take what we've learned at a business convention and take it to our churches. Take it to the workplace. Take it to your church service. Be professional.
Be professional. Do you think it's a misconception that people have about rich people?
Always. Look, and let me tell you, the few that mess it up do an excellent job because their numbers are big. If I have to look at the political situation in our country, they're not interested. If you have 2 or 3 million rand that's defrauded, it's he's a small boy. It's got to be 60 million, 70 million, it's going on to bully. So this kind of thing, you know. I say it's out there. We cannot be delusional. We're currently in the middle of the great controversy. And so that picture is painted a little more glorified than it really is.
I love that 75%. I think that was an eye-opener for me. Elder Matuzalam, transformative, conventional enterprising. What's the difference there?
Transformative and conventional enterprise. You know, I allow me to pick up a little bit from where you left on the ethical perspective. Because this, I think it blends purely with that. You know, recently I was reading a book by C.S. Lewis. He's written a lot of things in the Christian community, but this one was Screwtape Letters. It's a scenario between one demon advising other demon on how to tempt the humans, etc. And I read the part which really caught my attention, which states that the devil is not concerned with these demons trying to make people cause big scandals. In fact, they discouraged the demons to make humans commit big scandals because it awakens people. He finds value in making people compromising on small details. Lie a little bit here, be a little bit unethical. And when we talk about ethics, when we talk about transformative, sometimes as Christians, we take it as for granted that because you're Christian, you are ethical, you have integrity. It's not by accident that this theme comes into on the table for discussion because a lot of times we get led by what the society presents, what the media presents. You know, you have just the example Elder Eugene Musami mentioned. We want to focus, man, 60 million, that's a lot of money, that's a big scandal. You know, 3 million. And for some of us, you know, you want to compromise, you know, $1, 100 rand, it's not a big problem. It's okay. But this is exactly where the problem of integrity, where the issue of ethics comes in. You know, so when we talk about traditional and conventional enterprise, you know, conventional enterprise is focused a lot on just profitability. You know, how much can we get in returns? But when your focus is too much pressured on profitability, there is higher pressure and temptation to compromise on other values, which are values of integrity. But when you start expanding into transformative enterprise,
yeah. Yeah.
where you already consider, you know, the impact into the society.
Mm.
How do I impact my neighbors?
Mm.
How do I impact the environment?
Mm.
Because in the end of the day, the environment was created by God, and God wants us to have a responsible management of the resources put in our, in our hands. So it's a big subject that we could, you know, spend quite some time exploring on.
Yeah.
But it's important we guide our minds, number one, that transformation needs to start in our minds. If you seek the Lord to transform you, then he will enlighten you on the details where you cannot compromise.
Yeah.
On the details where you need to start adding value little by little.
Yeah.
Those things that, you know, the world doesn't see because it's not big, but that's exactly which is in the core of the humanity, in the core of your heart, which doesn't make a difference to God if it's big or small.
Yeah.
If you lie, you lie.
You lie, that's it.
It's still a lie.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like there's an element, Elder Munsami, of stewardship in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, I wanted to piggyback on the conventional versus transformative.
Yeah.
My mind went conventional as a shelf life for me. You kind of cognitively caged. You've come to this particular convention. I'm going to pick up a few hints.
Yeah.
And I go home, I'm fed.
Yeah.
I'll be hungry next year when I come back. Transformative, we're saying, let there be a change.
Mm.
And let it be a sustainable change.
Mm.
So when you come here, that ties in with what Methuselah said. Let there be a renewal of your mind.
Mm.
And I like what he's saying. It all goes back to our thinking.
Mm.
The good book, Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so,
so
is he.
Yeah.
So go and think on good things. Think on positive stuff. Think on a way forward. Think on sustainability.
Yeah.
I want to be ready. You know, people are Adventists for 40 years and they lose out the last week. You don't want to do that.
Mm.
You don't want to do that.
Mm.
So, yeah, in a nutshell, I just thought, as he was talking, conventional versus transformative.
Yeah.
Both are beautiful.
Yeah.
But one is so short-lived.
Yeah.
And we want the other one to continue.
Yeah. There's the element of the environment, my elder. I just want to bring in there because I think that's another important one when we pursue and do business. You know, we often, like you said, conventional, profit at all costs, sometimes to the detriment of the environment. And I believe we are called to also steward the environment there. How important is the E?
You know, you are now leaving me very excited because I'm into the business of environment, you know what I'm saying? You know, let us take it from Psalm 24.
Yes, the earth is the Lord's.
You can tie it to Genesis 1 for the whole context. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes.
You know, it's not ours.
Yeah.
So the problem with humanity currently is that when we get so focused on building wealth without considering the environment, we compromise the future of the generations to come.
Yes, yes.
You know, today the world is tearing apart simply because of greed, simply because I want more and more and more, and I basically don't care what's going to happen because probably by then I'm not
there. I won't
there
be around,
anymore.
Yes.
But
yes.
Then my generation is going to be there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it cannot be more important for a Christian to have business on transformative perspective, to cater for the environment, because this ties into worshiping, ties into acknowledging that it's not you, it's not yours, you are simply a steward, and you need to take care as the Lord entrusted.
We seem to have left that work to environmentalists, or people who call themselves environmentalists and activists and all that. And it seems like business people have said, well, it's not our problem, we'll plow money into it if we need to, so that we get rid of the problem, but it's not incorporated in how they run and do business.
Yes, I like the idea that the world is guiding now more and more into making this an obligation to corporates, to businesses. But you are very right.
Yeah.
Businesses do not take that as priority, so they need to be forced.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll probably be in a worse situation than what we are now. You know?
Yeah.
The seas, the oceans are currently, you know, being destroyed. You know, life on the sea, life on the forests. You see, when there's a need of, you know, exploring or when there's a discovery onshore for oil production, you see the environmentalists come, you see the society comes in just to defend that because historically, it has been seen time and again that when a big corporation comes in, you know, just bulldozing everything, digging everything, basically history proves that they don't care much about, you know, sustainability, about living life, about the environment as it was. So there is a need of coming in. And we as Christians, we have a special role to play. In fact, as Christians and business people, we do not have to wait until somebody regulates. Because we know, based on the biblical principles, that it's also our responsibility. And leaving the society, leaving the governments for doing, just brings us into mind what Jesus says. If you do not speak, the stones will. And this is what we're doing. We're being quiet. We're not acting. So there's a need of you lacking setting your example. Somebody will come and tell you to do it right. And it's embarrassing to be called a Christian. And
he's talking about us being closet activists. And Adventists are excellent at that. And I think that is something I hit myself at. We activists, but we're so quiet, and it's the best kept secret. I think transformative enterprise is saying, "Come on, guys, let's come to the front. Let's stand up, up for Jesus."
I want us to round it off because I'm told I'm running out of time here. But as you think about what are we transforming for, I want to ask the both of you, what are we transforming for? But before we get into that, Don Mayal, you spoke about boards. You know how, for example, a lot of our delegates and colleagues sitting here sit in boards, but they also sit in the board of the church as well, which is the closet activists. and I share that same sentiment, by the way, on that bit. The importance of governance.
You know what? I'm a staunch believer. It may go against what you probably thought I was saying.
Yeah.
I come from a generation where we were taught to respect authority. And it goes against your word of God and your conscience, then you stand up. But stand for truth irrespective. For me, I can go on hours, but I'll hand over to Matuslam to carry on with that.
How important is governance?
You know, we talk and we'll help each other as
Yes.
It is such a hot potato
that
in the workplace, we're talking about corporate governance now. I mean, there's the King Commission, there's all these reports that have been coming out.
Yeah.
That is lacking in God's house.
Sure.
That is lacking in God's house because accountability and true governance in its true sense, it's skimmed over by boards, by those, by them. These unknown people who run churches, and they are laws unto themselves.
Sure.
And that is where governance is seriously absent, conspicuously absent. And I think coming to a businessman's forum like this, where we can highlight the importance of corporate governance, the King's report, whatever, we need something. We got the High King. The High King's report. We're supposed to be par excellence, we're supposed to be blameless and spotless. But yes, I say in God's house, let's bring it on.
Sure, let's definitely bring it on. My elder, any thoughts?
Governance, like Elder said, I find it extremely important.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way of structuring organization, it's a way of, you know, setting objective. Especially it's a way of moving organized. Our church is an organized institution.
Okay.
We need to have governance. Companies, enterprises are organized institutions.
Yeah.
Heavens is organized. You know. And governance in my understanding starts like most of the principles which businesses and various successful entities are moving on, or which has been giving them success, are based on the principles of the Bible.
Yeah.
And the principles of the Bible are the principles of heaven. So as long as you do it as it should be, not in the corrupt way, it's fundamental, it's important, and it needs to exist because it sets the tone and it helps people to keep on track.
You got me very excited about this ESG thing as well. What are we transforming for, my elder, as we bring this one to a close?
You know, my my sporting team in South Africa is called Amakosi.
You and Kaiser I. Chiefs. But they are just
and
doing us a bad
says,
service.
Their line says Amakosi for?
Life.
Yes.
Yes.
We are transforming for life.
Ah, love that. So you're transforming for life.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yes. Oh,
my
yes,
elder,
yes,
oh, yes. What are we transforming for?
After this answer from Elder Eugene, I almost have no other answer. Right?
Yeah.
What else can you transform for? I mean, you know, the thing is, as long as... I like a statement that I read once a long time ago. Mm. It says, big opportunities to help others seldom come, but small ones are around us every day.
Mm.
So as long as we are here, we're just a piece of the puzzle. Mm. We're just a droplet on the sea.
Mm.
But what can you do?
Mm.
How can you impact?
Mm.
While we are here on this mandate, with transformative enterprise, our objective, what we are transforming for, is to bring the message, is to bring the word, is to awaken people, that people will be building on based on this message, which we hope will be, you know, absorbed by people, and hopefully we become serious Christians that will impact generations,
yeah.
will impact the society,
yeah.
exactly
making,
as the Lord.
Making a change.
Yeah.
Making a change.
For life, right?
For life.
What are we looking up for tomorrow? What does it look like?
Some exciting topics for discussion. I heard you introduce it earlier on. It's actually the official kickoff.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have a lot of anticipation.
Yeah.
The turnout of the delegates has been brilliant.
It has
and,
been. It
so
has
we're just
been.
Looking forward to a lovely time together.
Wonderful.
And we can't do it without God's blessing.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much, my elders.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your time. That was, of course, Elder Eugene Munsami there, who is the Vice President and Chief of Programs. And we've got Elder Matuzalem as well, who is the Logistics Director, just giving us some introductory and well in-depth conversation on transformative enterprise. And plus 2773-470-3520, that's the number that you can use to talk to us.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.